That was actually for a couple of people, and not that it's necessarily an overly dry place, it may be, but it was more the sense of bringing life, a new sense of life, a new season. And if anyone feels like that, then grab hold of that. Grab hold of that. But I particularly felt the Lord, as I was looking around, just highlight a couple of people. So I just want to just pray into that a little bit. So Quinton and Michelle, just a really coming into a new season, coming into a new sense of life, a new confidence, a new joy, and a new passion for Him. Okay, and that's not that it's necessarily down here, and it's almost for you guys, it's up here and it's getting more, okay, but it's coming into a new season. Ben and Esther, just feel a fruitfulness was the word that I had for you guys. A real fruitfulness, a sense of coming through a busy time with lots going on, but a real sense of fruitfulness. There's an anointing of God on you two to bring people to Jesus. There's an anointing of God to just the joy, the welcome, the ability to connect, and we're going to see more and more of that as the time goes on and as you go into this season. So I just pray that over you. Alex and Evane, I just feel it's coming into a new season for you guys. A new sense of purpose and passion. And again, hear my heart. It's not that it was not there and now it's suddenly, it's from glory to glory. It's growing, okay? But it's a new season for you guys. Sean and Anna, in many ways, it's a new season for you guys. We know that. It was announced last Sunday, but it's more than that. Okay, we're going to see a real sense of God using you both in a new and fresh and creative way. Going to be really exciting. It's going to be your passions because He's going to give you the desires of your heart, and that'll make you just burn at 110%. So, amen. But if that's you and I, you know, then just grab it, right? Just grab it. Just God's speaking here this morning, and we want to tap into Him. So please, don't feel upset if I didn't mention you, and you're saying, oh, that's for me, then take it. Jim and Sue, that's for you guys as well. I better stop now, we'll just pray for everyone, right? But if you're visiting here this morning and you don't know me, my name is Rick. As Sean said, I'm one of the elders here. The last 2 weeks I've been on the Jubilee line. So 2 weeks ago I was over at Aldershot, Jubilee Aldershot. Then last week I was over at Jubilee Borden. And Jubilee Aldershot today celebrates their 1 year anniversary. I mean, can you imagine? Hey, a year ago this weekend, we all launched Jubilee Aldershot, and they've been there for a year, and they've seen great growth and great things going on there. So what a joy that is to celebrate with them as they come to their first year anniversary. And if you are visiting here today, you've found us in actually coming to the end, the final week of a four-week giving series. And we kicked off in the first week looking at some of the reasons why we give. Then the second week, we looked at some of the questions that the Bible asks about money. And then last week, we looked at where and what we should give. And then we find ourselves in the final week this week. And yesterday afternoon, as I was preparing, because I'd been around, I got onto the website and I listened to Sean's preach in week two and then Biyama's preach last week. And it was... what a joy. It was just so good to hear just people's hearts coming through and just hopefully clear and helpful teaching. It was just a real joy that they followed my sermon outline. That we just heard from God. So that was really good. And I hope that the series so far has been helpful. I've had some really good feedback. I had someone email me this week and say, well, you know, they've been challenged by God to look at how they've been spending their money and look to then spend on the essentials, and then anything over and above that, look to see how they can bless others. I thought, well, great. A conscious change of the way that we deal with our money and our possessions. And then I've got a great sort of personal testimony where, as I said, we're out in Aldershot 2 weeks ago, and I was preaching out there, and then at the end of the message, I was standing talking to someone, and then Samuel came and joined me. We were chatting, and then the guy that was playing the guitar, he wasn't leading worship, he was playing guitar. His name's Tim Sherrington. He came over and was talking with us, and then he looked at Samuel and said, "Do you play guitar?" And Samuel said, "Well, I'm learning piano, but I don't play guitar. I'm quite interested." And then he looked at both of us and said, "Right, please come with me." And we went off into a side room, and he said, "Well, I'm going to put my guitar," it's quite an emotional moment. "I'm going to put my guitar in this case, I'm going to close the case, and then you're going to take it home because it's your guitar." And I just think, that's amazing. I did actually sort of think, you know, you're just there preaching on giving, and it's like, hang on, are you sure? But he was sure. He said, "No, when I heard from God as I was playing guitar, and I saw Samuel, and God said, it's his guitar now." But you could see it was an emotional moment for him. "I'm going to shut this case, this guitar, and you're going to take it." What generosity, what joy that is. And so we're here in our final week. I just remind you again that Sean's just said Angela and Greg are coming next week, and we're going to have a gift day as we did last year as well. And I'm going to speak a bit more about that at the end of the sermon, so I'll come back to that. But this week, to wrap up this series on giving, we're going to look at how we should give. And to begin with, I want to read from Philippians chapter 2. And I read it in the first week, but I think it's helpful for us to go back to it. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. If you have your Bibles with you, why don't you turn there now? Philippians 2, verse 12. I'm reading from the NASB. It may have a couple of words different, but not too much. "So then, my beloved," Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Work out your salvation. And over these past 4 weeks, haven't we been trying to do that? Haven't we been trying to work out our salvation in as much as it relates to giving and how we deal with money and our possessions? And you see, we should remember that even as we are called to work out our salvation, the scriptures tell us that it is God who works in us to will and to work for his good pleasure. So as we work, and we're called to work out your salvation, it's actually God working in us. It's a mystery in some sense, but what we can be confident about is that when God's working, the work will be completed. The work will be done. So as we're working out our salvation, it's actually God working in us to work out our salvation with us, means the job will be done. Because it's him that's working. So if you're feeling like you had a bad day or a bad week, or remember, it's God working in us. So how should we give? Great question. How should we give? And the best place to start, and my first point, is that we should give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7 says, God loves a cheerful giver. And there's such a joy we can experience when we give. Whether it's giving to the church to see the kingdom advance through the church, whether it's to meet the needs of the poor, or just even to, you get a sense from God, to bless someone who wasn't expecting it. It's such a joyful experience. See, Acts 20, verse 35 says this: "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Have you ever thought why that is? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Why did Jesus say that? You know, it's good to stop when we're reading our Bible. Sometimes we can just get in the habit, we read it, right? We're going a chapter a day or a chapter a week or whatever. Done. And now you're on to the next chapter. Oh, it's good. It's good to slow down a bit. Why did he say that? Oh, I've been thinking about it. And I think there's a... You see, when we give, more people are blessed. See, the one who receives is blessed. The one who gives is blessed. And I think God is also pleased when we give because we're being obedient. Hello. You see, God is pleased when he sees his children responding to his word and becoming more like Jesus. Giving is becoming like our Father. You see, it isn't just God's way of providing resources. I think it's about him making sons and daughters. It's about the way he raises his kids. So let's all remember to give cheerfully. So we give cheerfully. We give generously. And the act of giving is a vivid reminder that this life is not about us. It's about him. See, God's money has a higher purpose than personal wealth. And 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14 says this. 1 Chronicles 29, 14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. There's more to our money than personal wealth. See, giving affirms Christ's lordship. It dethrones me and money and enthrones him. And that's where we need him. It exalts him. It breaks the hold of money in our lives. See, love generates lavish giving. And people can perceive giving as a bit fanatical. But I think Jesus called it love. We'll read from Mark 14, verse 3 to 11. If you've read your Bibles, you know this story well. Mark 3 to 11. While he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper. Ever thought about that? Jesus was at the home of Simon the leper. When was the last time? Anyway. People different from us need us to be in their homes, reclining at the table. That's what Jesus was doing. And there came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume of pure nard, and she broke the vial and poured it out over his head. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, "Why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." Sometimes we can be a bit offended by lavish giving. We can see someone blessed or something that looks outrageous, and we can get a little bit offended. And they were scolding her, but Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. You'll always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them. But you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body before the burial. Truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be also spoken of in memory of her." Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went off to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. They were glad when they heard this and promised to give him money, and he began seeking how to betray him. See, you see an act of lavish giving, and there's an offense taken. And then for some reason, the scriptures say immediately Judas went out and sought how he was going to betray them. And what did the chief priests and the scribes do? They paid him some money. But Jesus said, when that woman poured all that oil, "Leave her alone. She's done something good. She loves me." You see, love generates lavish giving, generous giving. So you might ask, how much is generous? Well, there's no one-size-fits-all answer. That's between you and me and God. you and God and me and God, not you and me and God. Work it out. Whatever it is, God calls us to be generous. I think God also calls us to give regularly. Stewardship is not a hit and miss, irregular consideration, but it is a commitment, and it requires discipline and consistency. Paul encouraged a regular approach to giving in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. You see, when the Corinthian church wanted to get involved in the gift that was being put together for the saints in Jerusalem, Paul puts it this way, and I'm reading from the Living Bible. It says, "On every Lord's day, each of you should put aside something from what you have earned during the week and use it for this offering. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you earn. Don't wait until I get there and then try and collect it all at once." Paul's saying, think about it. Be regular. Pray and determine how much you'll give and be intentional about it. Be regular about it. We're also called to give voluntarily. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7 says this, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion." You see, Paul encourages us to give what we have purposed in our hearts, but he says it in the context of sowing and reaping. He says it in the context of sowing and reaping. So he actually prefaces the part that says, give what you've purposed in your heart, with he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will reap generously. See, there's a link between the two. The principle of sowing and reaping, in essence, the principle, if you like, of investment and reward, alongside a grace-filled voluntary principle of you decide in your hearts, not under compulsion or reluctantly. And we do likewise. No one should feel under compulsion or under any new law, but rather free, voluntary giving that comes from the heart, knowing the truth around sowing and reaping. So we give voluntarily. Is everyone okay? As I've traveled around, I started here, then went to Aldershot, then went to Borden. I had to check in each time around about this point. It's very quiet. Check in, everyone's okay. Give sacrificially. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1 to 6. "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality." I mean, that is a Paul sentence, if there ever is one. We've got to get our heads around that. The affliction, the great ordeal of their affliction, their abundance of joy, and their deep poverty. You don't often put all of those phrases together. And what happened? All of that overflowed in a wealth of liberality. "For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." See, Paul provides us with an example, the example of the Macedonian Christians who, out of their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty, gave beyond their ability. You see, giving is never, ever the luxury of the rich. Out of their extreme poverty, overflowed with outrageous liberality. It's never a luxury of the rich, but rather a privilege for all. But what does it mean to give beyond our ability? Remember, sometimes I said we've got to slow it down. What does that mean? Well, that's something that each of us needs to work out. And it's not something that we do flippantly or rashly, but rather in obedience when we hear from God. See, there are times when God says, you know, that money that you've put aside for such and such, well, I'd like you to give it away. Have you ever had that experience? You ever had that sense? Getting some nodding, it's good. Maybe you're saving for a car and God says, buy someone else a car. Maybe you're saving for an extension and God says, give the money to the church. See, whatever that may be, I would encourage you to be open from hearing from God. See, it means living, giving sacrificially means living with the faith of the poor widow. She had, what, a penny or a whatever it was, a mite. And Jesus was there with his disciples, almost looking on. And she dropped it in. And Jesus didn't come rushing in saying, no, don't do that. That's not very sensible. That's all you've got. Hang on a second. He held back and he said, this woman's given far more than all of the rich people that have come in and given a much larger monetary sum because she's given everything. So give sacrificially. We each have to work out what that is. We don't do it rashly. But if God speaks to your heart, then let's be ready to do it. And if you're married, make sure the other half agrees. Come on, we're allowed to have a joke, aren't we? Come on. You're a bit serious in here. We need to just, it's all right. I know we're talking about money, but we're family. We can still have a bit of a laugh. It's all right. So we did give cheerfully, give generously, give regularly, give voluntarily, give sacrificially, and now to the last point, give worshipfully. Cornelius is an example for us on how to worship God through our giving. And in Acts 10, verse 1 to 4, he is described as a devout and God-fearing man who gave generously. And when the angel appeared to him, he said, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. You see, when we give, it's part of worship. We are to give worshipfully. Our giving should always be directed towards God first before anyone else. And when you go back to that passage around the Macedonians, he said, they first gave themselves to the Lord. It's first to the Lord. Our giving is always directed towards God. And giving is a response of the heart triggered by God's grace. We give because he gave first to us. And our giving is part of our worship. In worship, we kneel before the throne of God and we give him everything. All of our lives are given over to Jesus. And that includes our money. We give financially and it's part of our worship. In essence, when we give in this fashion, when we give voluntarily and cheerfully and sacrificially and regularly, we give and it's part of our worship. It's part of saying, Lord, you are more important than anything else, and I'll worship you. And because it is a part of our worship, we've been provoked about the way we give. And particularly in the age of direct debits and electronic giving and banking. You see, many of us give via a bank transfer. And indeed, there's many good reasons for that. The bank charges us money when we deposit cash. It doesn't for bank transfers. You can set up direct debit and standing order, and the giving just takes care of itself. One might say you could just about forget about your giving. I've heard people say that. And you see, when we forget about our giving, we lose this worshipful nature of giving. We lose this sense of joy and celebration. And that's something we want to change. We want us all to participate in the joy of giving. And as part of our worship and as part of this community of faith, we want to change a couple of things. So we are changing the practice of our giving. And at this point, that sort of story, I think it's from Alpha, rushes back into my head around where Nicky Gumbel said of the vicar who wanted to move the piano from this side to that side. He did it in 1 week, and there was an outrage, so he moved it back the next week, and then inch by inch moved it across, and no one noticed. And got over there, and everyone was happy. I'm going for the former approach. So hold on to your seats. See, we want to introduce that greater sense of celebration and worshipfulness. We also want to facilitate, particularly for those that do give electronically, a greater sense of participation in the celebration, in the worshipfulness of it all. So going forward from today, the dreaded plush blue velvet, what are they? Bags. We'll just call them bags. They are out. Cast out. And hallelujah. I'm taking it there. And we have celebration. I really wanted to come up with a better word, but I couldn't. We have celebration buckets. All right, celebration buckets. But fear not, these were kind of the most colorful that I could get on the weekend. But fear not, I'm working with someone to come up with something much more beautiful than this, much more worshipful, much more celebratory. Celebration buckets. I don't even know what they are. Do you see where they're placed? If anybody wants to come up with a better name than celebration bucket, I'm good. I'm good with that. You can come and talk to me. Aldershot have gone for joy baskets. But they have gone the kind of wickery basket. I just don't know if that's where I'm going with this one. So we have our celebration buckets. They're going to be at the front of the church, okay? The front of the church. And during our worship, we would encourage everyone to come forward and joyfully give to the Lord. I held back our time of giving this week because I wanted to teach into it first. But going forward on a weekly basis, it will be in the first block of worship, okay? Hopefully the first song, and it's going to be a song of praise. You know, we used to have worship and praise, and the praise songs were celebratory and joyful, and that's what we're going to have. A song of celebration, a song of praise to our Lord Jesus, and during that song, people are going to come up and give. So, Sean, I'm going to need some help here. We are going to provide you with a My Giving card, okay? A My Giving card, which is to represent, you're going to get a number of cards this morning, so we need to explain them, okay? The My Giving card is particularly for those that give electronically. So on the Sunday, you're going to get four cards, and we're going to go through them, okay? On the Sunday closest to the day where your money goes out of your bank, we will have these. They're going to be there. They'll be there available for you. If your transfer or your direct debit, whenever that goes out, on the Sunday closest to that, you pick up one of these, and then you participate in the act of giving. So you can then grab it, and you come to the front, and you drop it in the celebration buckets. Because we want people to be able to participate in the act of giving. We want people to remember when they give and the fact that they are giving. And part of that is worship. When we give it, we put it down there and we worship the Lord. So I'd encourage each of us to enter into this time where you remember your giving and do so with thankfulness, cheerfulness, and worship. You see, given that we're at the end of the giving series, We've also popped another card in the pack for you. This is the yellow one this morning. And this is particularly for those who haven't yet started giving, but you would like to. Through the series, the Spirit of God's been speaking to you and you're sensing that Jubilee is your home. All of those questions that Biyama went through last week, which were great questions around confidence in the elders, a sense of family, a sense of passion for the vision, a sense of I'm growing here more to become more like Christ. Well then, if you would like to, okay, remember, not under compulsion, but free and cheerful giving. But if you would like to, then we want to give you the opportunity to say, yes, we're going to start giving and put an amount there. And then also, if anyone has had a sense of God about it, then if you want to increase your giving, you're already giving, but you want to increase it, then there's somewhere there for you to pop that in there. So you could fill that in. We're going to have a moment of prayer just now, and then we are going to worship, and you can come. And if you're not yet a giver, but you're sensing, no, I do want to give, I want to start that journey, then please fill this in and come and pop it in the celebration bucket. Those that give in cash, please continue to do so as you've always done, but simply come as part of the celebration times into the celebration buckets. And then finally, we will stop, we will honor the Lord, we'll pray and thank him for his faithfulness, for his provision and his blessing in our lives. We'll pray over the giving and commit it to God and the advancement of his kingdom through Jubilee Church. And we also want to hear about testimonies of God's goodness, testimonies like my son was given a guitar, testimonies like God's just come through for me in this way. I've started giving and this has happened. It's testimony of God's goodness. We want to make space and time for that as well. And then finally, we'll be introducing the annual gift day. So this is the red card, the gift day. And last week, Biyama really helpfully looked at the distinction between our regular giving, or tithing, is often a word that's used, and an offering. We looked at how an offering is over and above your regular giving to the church. And the gift day card on your seat is for you to take home, and this coming week, pray about it and seek God for what you will give as an offering next Sunday when Angela and Greg are here with us. You see, the gift day is going to allow us to pursue more, push more into all that God's called us to in the multi-site vision. You see, it's, as I said, it's a year since we started Aldershot. And in that year, across the three sites, we've seen roughly a 30% increase in Sunday attendance and a 20% increase in membership across the three sites. So God is blessing us already with a good harvest, and multi-site has worked for us. We are seeing an impact in three towns, and as an eldership, we believe that the multi-site is the best way for us to reach our towns. You see, we'll, as we reach our towns, as people come to Jesus, then each individual life is then transformed. And then the more individual lives are transformed, we're going to see a greater and greater impact on our towns and our communities for Jesus. But also we see, as Sean mentioned last Sunday evening, if you were with us at the dinner, that we want to pursue this year, 2018, as a year of invitation. We sense an invitation from God to go deeper with him. And we sense a blessing of God to bring about salvations amongst us and call back those who have wandered away from church or God to come home and come back into the family. So this year we'll be making greater use of the Waden Christian Center to reach out to the community around us. We've already had great success with the outdoor film night and the quiz nights. And we want to see more outreach this year. We want to be reaching more people across all three communities in the coming year. And we want all of us to be refreshed by God, to be enlivened, to be enfired, if I don't think that's a word, but fired up, as Chrissy spoke about this morning, so that each of us say to our friends and our family and our neighbors, come and see what Jesus has done. Come and see Jesus. You see, also running three sites and reaching three communities is it's a brand new and a brave new world for us at Jubilee. And it takes us to a new level. And we are so grateful for the can-do attitude amongst all of us here in Jubilee. It enables us to be in three communities as one church. It requires each one of us to give of our time and our talents and our treasure. You see, it's our combined giving that enables Jubilee Church to do all that we do across three sites. And if you remember the year in review that Steve did on Sunday night, then you can see that we do a lot. Now, on behalf of the eldership, I want to thank all of you for being such wonderful and cheerful and generous givers. It's such a blessing to be in a church that loves God, loves people, and loves life. And you guys are so generous, and it's really important to us as elders that we stop and we thank you and honor you for your obedience and your serving and your sacrifice, and that you do all of that with such a joy. So I'm hopeful for the increase to you over the coming weeks and months. As I said in week one, I've tried to live my life in as much as it relates to giving by a principle, and that principle is that I can never outgive God, but I can have so much fun trying. See, a life of giving and generosity is a wonderful thing to experience. So we're going to worship in a minute. I'll get the band up. And we're going to come and joyfully, freely give and celebrate all that God's done in our lives. The final card, this was a request that we have it. So the green one is simply the function of how to give. So it has our bank account and BACS details on there. So that's just to take home and just for information's sake that you have it there so you know how to give. So let's just where we are right now. Let's just take a moment and pray. We're going to have a song at the end. So let's just settle our hearts. Lord Jesus, thank you for this series on giving. Thank you for your presence here this morning as we worship you, as we studied your scriptures and your living word to us. I pray, Heavenly Father, for your Holy Spirit to speak to each one of our hearts, Lord. As we take a moment now to reflect, to stop and think about our giving, think about perhaps starting giving, I pray you, Holy Spirit, speak to each of our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the generosity you have shown to us through your people. Thank you for their obedience to you, Lord, and their joyfulness and their giving. And I pray you just take us on to another level, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. So, what we're going to do, let's stand.